Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Blog Talk Radio.
When you don't go to GEICO.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
GEICO makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on GEICO.com or the GEICO mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who is first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in His early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church. Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start-to-finish ministry anointed by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. We believe the Lord has sent us to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. And we honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. We establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior trustees, and junior deacons and training them up in the fear of the Lord right now, because tomorrow is not promised to no one, and when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without a stick of music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blah. Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. Somebody say, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just very briefly this morning to the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, and we're going to begin reading at the 14th verse. Matthew 17 and 14. If you're with me, say amen. And if you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and greatly vexed. For often he falleth into the fire, and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bury and carry with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. The 19th verse says, then came the disciples to Jesus privately, and they said these words. They said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it shall be moved, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out except by prayer and fasting. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. I want to talk to you for just a little while this morning. I want to talk to you surrounding the 19th verse of the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. and ask this question this morning. Can your God deliver? Can your God deliver? This story in the New Testament, and while Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the inner circle of the disciples, there the heavens opened up and showered the Lord with splendor and glory. And while all of that was taking place, it got so good to Peter, for he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Somebody say, I know that's right. And to be specific, the Bible says that Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's not go back. Let's make a booth, three of them, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. However, you and I know Jesus had to come down in the valley. But he left 9 trainee disciples, trained by the Lord himself. And an emergency came up. A man brought a son who had an epileptic spirit and vexed with the devil. And he brought his son to the disciples, and they wasn't able to help him. Somebody say, They wasn't able to help him. Now, the Bible doesn't say specifically what the trainees did or didn't do. It doesn't say if they used oil, number one. Number two, nowhere is written where they said they even laid hands. Number three, there's nowhere written that they spoke in tongues. Or number four, there's nowhere written if they even pleaded the blood of Jesus. It doesn't say. It just say they wasn't able to help him. The fact of the matter is this. When Jesus came down from the mountain, there were a lot of confusion going on. Number one, the disciples was scratching their head. Number two, the scribes were signifying. Number three, the church folks was running their mouth, saying, I told you those church folks didn't have no power. And this man, the boy's father, burst through the crowd and said, my son has a dumb spirit, and I brought him to your disciples, and unfortunately, they couldn't help him. They couldn't do him any good. We all know the story. Jesus did help him. Jesus did deliver and set him free. But what I want to talk about this morning, it was 9 disciples. Somebody going to pray for me. I said it was 9 of them, trained by Jesus. A crisis arose. One emergency. One young man. And with not 1 or 2 or 3 disciples, 9 of them. Bible says one can chase 1,000. Am I right about it? Therefore, if my calculations are correct, at least 9,000 demons should have stood to attention on that day. Somebody wave your hand at the radio and say, preach, Doc. They messed up so badly that when the boy's father saw Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a doctor who never lost a case, when he saw Jesus, he said, now, if you can do anything, will you help me? And that lets me know whatever the disciples did, they messed up so badly, the man wasn't even sure if Jesus could help him. It's a wonder. He didn't even ask Jesus, can your God deliver? He didn't say, if you will. The man said, if you can. When Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. The man said, I believe, but help my unbelief. I guess the man said, after this mess your disciples made, I don't know if I believe or not. I don't even know if I'm going or coming. And so here we are among religious folks, and we couldn't do him any good. It ought to bother you and I this morning, because the same thing is happening today. God is bringing them in. Except God build a house, we build in vain, and we can't do them any good. With all of our religion, with all of our programs, with all of our committees, with all the cliques, with all the clues, we can't do them any good. Can your God deliver? Could it be once they get in, we don't know what to do? Could it be once they join, we extended with the right hand to fellowship and we're so excited with the number that we forget about the soul? Some of us are so political. Some of us are so programmed. Some of us are so bound by tradition. Some of us are serving our grandmother and grandfather's God. So you say, it looks like the disciple situation. Now, I want you to know, you need to know, can your God deliver? Mm-hmm. Grandma said girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. Men are snakes, snails, and puppy dog tails. Am I right about it? Mm-hmm. But whether you sweet or nice or not, or whether you're a puppy dog or not, you need to know what to do in the house of God, and you need to know that your God can, and he will, and he shall deliver. The Bible says very privately, it bothered the disciples, and it ought have. Mm-hmm. They wanted to know why Satan didn't move when they said move. They wanted to know why Satan didn't flee when they say flee. And I want you to know we are the trainees now, trained by Jesus, brought up in the church, been here 40 years plus. Mm-hmm. And there is more than 9 of us in our church today, in here. Can I get a witness? Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus told his disciples these words. He said, as I close this morning, first of all, your faith. You need to check your faith, your unbelief. Mm-hmm. We have to believe God can do it. And he can do anything but fail. Second of all, we need to check and stop playing and start praying for real. Pray till you get an answer. Pray until you're sure. And third of all, this kind cometh only by fasting and prayer. Can your God deliver? That's what Amos, the 8th century sheep herder and keeper of the sycamore trees, was talking about one day when he said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. He was trying to warn them, God is tired of halfway religion. God is tired of folks who don't know what to do. And God is tired of you sitting up in the church and don't know what to do and won't even ask nobody to show you what to do. Mm-hmm. That's what Micah was talking about when he said, what doeth the Lord require of thee? He was trying to warn them that God wanted his people to start walking the walk and start talking the talk and start singing their songs of Zion. And that's what I like about Elijah. He walked into the palace of Ahab and Jezebel one day and gave an extended weather forecast. Yes, he did. He was trying to warn them that God is in charge. And there'll be no rain until God said it's going to be rain. You might as well put your umbrellas up. Mm-hmm. In other words, if God says rain, it's going to rain. If God says sunshine, then it's going to be sunshine. If God says, Satan, you're a liar, then you're a liar. If he said, greater is he that is in you, greater is he that is in you. If he says you got power, then you got power. If he said you can do all things with Christ that gives you the strength, then you can do it. Can your God deliver? Listen, maybe there's one here today that don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, and you may be new in the church, and that's a good thing. We're so glad that you made up your mind to give God your heart, and that he is a great heart fixer and mind regulator. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Now that you're a new babe in Christ, attend the classes. Attend the new members class. Attend the Sunday school. Come to church on time in regular services and hear the word of God, that you may grow thereby and know what to do. And if anything else, when you leave there, make sure that you learn that your God can deliver. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with you. Until the next time, this certainly is a drive-by. All you need is a few minutes with the preacher. Until next Sunday morning at 7 a.m., may God bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.
praise the Lord, everybody, and give honor to God who is first in my life, and to the Spirit of God that abides in his early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start-to-finish ministry anointed by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. We believe the Lord has sent us to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. And we honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. We establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior trustees, and junior deacons, and training them up in the fear of the Lord right now, because tomorrow is not promised to no one, and when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without a stick of music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blah. Talk radio. Y'all ready to have church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. Somebody said, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just very briefly this morning to the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, and we're going to begin reading at the 14th verse. Matthew 17 and 14. If you're with me, say amen. And if you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and greatly vexed. For often he falleth into the fire, and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bury and carry with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. The 19th verse says, then came the disciples to Jesus privately, and they said these words. They said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it shall be moved, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out except by prayer and fasting. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. I want to talk to you for just a little while this morning. I want to talk to you surrounding the 19th verse of the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew and ask this question this morning. Can your God deliver? Can your God deliver? This story in the New Testament, and while Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the inner circle of the disciples, there the heavens opened up and showered the Lord with splendor and glory. And while all of that was taking place, it got so good to Peter, for he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Somebody said, I know that's right. And to be specific, the Bible says that Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's not go back. Let's make a booth, three of them, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. However, you and I know Jesus had to come down in the valley. But he left 9 trainee disciples, trained by the Lord himself. And an emergency came up. A man brought a son who had an epileptic spirit and vexed with the devil. And he brought his son to the disciples, and they wasn't able to help him. Somebody say, They wasn't able to help him. Now the Bible doesn't say specifically what the trainees did or didn't do. It doesn't say if they used oil, number one. Number two, nowhere is written where they said they even laid hands. Number three, there's nowhere written that they spoke in tongues. Or number four, there's nowhere written if they even pleaded the blood of Jesus. It doesn't say. It just say they wasn't able to help him. The fact of the matter is this. When Jesus came down from the mountain, when Jesus came down from the mountain, there were a lot of confusion going on. Number one, the disciples were scratching their head. Number two, the scribes were signifying. Number three, the church folks was running their mouth, saying, I told you those church folks didn't have no power. And this man, the boy's father, burst through the crowd and said, my son has a dumb spirit, and I brought him to your disciples, and unfortunately, they couldn't help him. They couldn't do him any good. We all know the story. Jesus did help him. Jesus did deliver and set him free. But what I want to talk about this morning, it was 9 disciples. Somebody going to pray for me. I said it was 9 of them trained by Jesus. Crises arose, one emergency, one young man, and with not one or two or three disciples, 9 of them, the Bible says one can chase 1,000, am I right about it? Therefore, if my calculations are correct, at least 9,000 demons should have stood to attention on that day. Somebody wave your hand at the radio and say, preach, doc. They messed up so badly. Now, when the boy's father saw Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a doctor who never lost a case, when he saw Jesus, he said, now, if you can do anything, will you help me? And that lets me know, whatever the disciples did, they messed up so badly, the man wasn't even sure if Jesus could help him. It's a wonder. He didn't even ask Jesus, can your God deliver? He didn't say, if you will. The man said, if you can. When Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible, the man said, I believe, but help my unbelief. I guess the man said, after this mess your disciples made, I don't know if I believe or not. I don't even know if I'm going or coming. And so here we are among religious folks, and we couldn't do him any good. It ought to bother you and I this morning, because the same thing is happening today. God is bringing them in. Except God build a house, we build in vain, and we can't do them any good. With all of our religion, with all of our programs, with all of our committees, with all the cliques, with all the clues, we can't do them any good. Can your God deliver? Could it be once they get in, we don't know what to do? Could it be once they join, we extended with the right hand to fellowship, and we're so excited with the number that we forget about the soul? Some of us are so political. Some of us are so programmed. Some of us are so bound by tradition. Some of us are serving our grandmother and grandfather's God. So you say, it looks like the disciple situation. Now I want you to know, you need to know, can your God deliver? Grandma said, girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. Men are snakes, snails, and puppy dog tails. Am I right about it? But whether you sweet or nice or not, or whether you're a puppy dog or not, you need to know what to do in the house of God, and you need to know that your God can, and he will, and he shall deliver. The Bible says very privately, it bothered the disciples, and it ought have. They wanted to know why Satan didn't move when they said move. They wanted to know why Satan didn't flee when they said flee. And I want you to know we are the trainees now, trained by Jesus, brought up in the church, been here 40 years plus. And there is more than 9 of us in our church today in here. Can I get a witness? Well, Jesus told his disciples these words. He said, as I close this morning, first of all, your faith. You need to check your faith, your unbelief. We have to believe God can do it, and he can do anything but fail. Second of all, we need to check and stop playing and start praying for real. Pray till you get an answer. Pray until you're sure. And third of all, this kind cometh only by fasting and prayer. Can your God deliver? That's what Amos, the 8th century sheep herder and keeper of the sycamore trees, was talking about one day when he said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. He was trying to warn them, God is tired of halfway religion. God is tired of folks who don't know what to do. And God is tired of you sitting up in the church and don't know what to do and won't even ask nobody to show you what to do. That's what Micah was talking about when he said, what doeth the Lord require of thee? He was trying to warn them that God wanted his people to start walking the walk and start talking the talk and start singing their songs of Zion. That's what I like about Elijah. He walked into the palace of Ahab and Jezebel one day and gave an extended weather forecast. Yes, he did. He was trying to warn them that God is in charge. And there'll be no rain until God said it's going to be rain. You might as well put your umbrellas up. In other words, if God says rain, it's going to rain. If God says sunshine, then it's going to be sunshine. If God says, Satan, you're a liar, then you're a liar. If he said, greater is he that is in you, greater is he that is in you. If he says you got power, then you got power. If he says you can do all things with Christ that gives you the strength, then you can do it. Can your God deliver? Listen, maybe there's one here today that don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. And you may be new in the church, and that's a good thing. We're so glad that you made up your mind to give God your heart and that he is a great heart fixer and mind regulator. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Now that you're a new babe in Christ, attend the classes. Attend the new members class. Attend the Sunday school. Come to church on time in regular services and hear the word of God, that you may grow thereby and know what to do. And if anything else, when you leave there, make sure that you learn that your God can deliver. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with you. Until the next time, this certainly is a drive-by. All you need is a few minutes with the preacher. Until next Sunday morning at 7 a.m., may God bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio.
King presents